Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you came to dwell among us, to rescue us, and to save us. When we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate your great love, your never-stopping, never-ending, never-giving-up love towards people who ran away from you. And I would ask that tonight your Holy Spirit would speak to us and remind us in the midst of the chaos of this city and everyone running around and many going through very difficult times, others just being distracted and scattered. We pray that this night in the quietness of our hearts that you would speak to us and remind us of who you are, how wonderful you have acted towards us and how it changes everything about us and everything about our circumstances and everything about our perspectives and the way that we treat one another, the way that we function in this city. God, would you speak to us and remind us of the beauty of Christmas tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Christmas is, it's the one holiday that everyone wants to participate in. It doesn't even matter if you are religious. I read an article this morning written by a man who doesn't believe in God and doesn't let his kids believe in God and actually is not really into Christmas. He didn't even allow a Christmas tree into their house for years. This is over in England until he finally broke and about 10 years in with his kids allowed them to have a cactus and hang a few ornaments on the cactus, but that was it. But he said the one time that I dabble in religion, he said, is around Christmas. Everyone wants to participate in Christmas, even if they don't believe in God. But according to the Bible, Christmas is not about principles that bring peace. Christmas is about a person that brings peace. You can't have the peace of Christmas without the person of Christmas. It's not as though there's just a few good lessons that we can teach the kids and that we can teach each other, be kind, be nice to each other. That's not what Christmas is about, according to the Bible. So what is it about Jesus that brings peace, joy, love, and hope? What are the claims of Christmas? And what does Christmas reveal about us? The first half of the Bible talks about God promising to set things right in our broken world, our world that is in so much need, as we were reminded of over the last few weeks, all the pain and hurt and suffering that is going on in our world, the pain and hurt that is going on in your lives, no matter how young or how old you are tonight. Our world needs mending. Our world needs fixing. And the Bible is about God's promise to come into this world that he loves, to come into this world that he created. And even though we ran away from him and didn't want him to be our God, he pursued us. And what we celebrate in this season is the arrival of God's Son into this world, the beginning of his promises being fulfilled. That's what the passage is about that was just read a moment ago from Luke's gospel, the celebration of God's arrival into our world. And likewise, there's a passage in the book of Matthew where the angel is telling Mary about this miraculous thing that's going to happen. And the angel says to Joseph, Mary's husband, in Matthew 1, verse 21 through 23, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This man, Jesus, is given this title, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that name tells us about the claims of Christmas. The first is this: God was with us. God was with us. At Christmas time, what we celebrate is a miracle. The God who created the planets, who created the stars, who created this world, who created you and created me, he became an infant. The baby that would change the world. That's how my kids' Jesus storybook Bible tells it. The baby who would change the world. The God who created all this would become an infant. Now that seems strange to us, but it was actually anticipated. In the Old Testament, in the first part of the Bible, hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born, it says in the prophet Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." It was anticipated. But what was unexpected was that this Jesus would come in such a poor and lowly state. This king who was supposed to come in and rescue the world, he would come as an infant in a poor family in the middle of nowhere. And that middle of nowhere didn't even have any room for him to stay. They said, "Hey, we're in nowhere and we have nowhere for you to stay." And the angels appear, and they appear to the shepherds who were nobodies back then. And the angels appear and they say to these shepherds, "There's going to be a sign that God has come into the world." And the shepherds are like, "Oh, what is it?" "You're going to find a baby in a manger." Now, friends, families, I know that we're all used to the cute little baby Jesus made out of plastic, illuminated by neon lights, who in the nativity scenes that we see around our city usually has blonde hair and blue eyes, which probably wasn't the case. We think, "Oh, the manger's so cute. I wouldn't mind living in a manger." You know, you have nice talking donkeys and other talking animals and little mice singing choir. It wasn't like that. You just need to know it. Mangers were disgusting. There was no room for Mary and Joseph to stay, and she was about to give birth. There was no room, so they had to go out to the nasty manger. And the angels say, "This is the sign. You'll find the king of the universe in a disgusting manger." That seems weird to us. That seems very strange to us that this would be the sign. Kids, tonight, imagine if your parents said, "Mom and I, or Dad and I, got you the best gift ever. It's out in the gutter. Go get it." I mean, imagine if Christmas morning, that's what your parents told you. The thing you've always wanted is out in the street in the gutter. Don't get hit by cars, but go out there and go get it. You'd think, "Mom, Dad, you guys are crazy." It seems strange to us. What was unexpected was that the king of the universe would come in such a lowly state. But that is part of the miracle. That God, who is amazing, God who created everything, would come in such a small way, who would come in such a poor and lowly state. And that is because the Bible tells us Jesus came first as a servant, putting everyone else before himself, living a perfect life and dying a horrible death on a cross. Why? Because the gift that we truly need, not just at this time of year, but all the time, the gift that we truly need is rescue. The gift that we truly need is forgiveness from sin, forgiveness from our wrongs, forgiveness from our evil, so that we can be near to God. The angel told Mary, "His name will be Jesus," which means God saves, because he will save people from their sins. Now, that's quite an unexpected gift to the world. I mean, if I were to give you a box this Christmas, and you know, it's all wrapped really cute because that's how I do it when I give gifts, not really. They look horrible. My kids do a better wrapping job than I do. If I were to give you a gift this Christmas, and it's a little box, and you were to unwrap it, and you're thinking, "Okay, it's small, must be expensive," and you unwrap it, and there's a little piece of paper in it and says, "I forgive you." And there I am smiling, just, "That's my gift to you this Christmas. I forgive you." You'd think, "Okay." See, it's not really what we were anticipating, and yet that's what's happening here. God is sending his son into the world and saying, I'm going to make a way for all of you to be forgiven. That's shocking to us because we don't think we did anything wrong, when in fact we have. We've run away from the God that created us. We've turned from him, and we've put all these other things in his place. But instead of God leaving us in that place, he says, I am going to come to you, and I'm going to save you from your sins. And Jesus did this by going to a cross and taking the punishment and penalty that we deserve for our sin there on the cross. You see, Christmas causes you to look at your own heart. Christmas is an announcement that says you need a Savior, and that Savior has come. His lowliness would actually lift us up so that we could have peace with him. And because, first of all, God was with us, this really happened. God really did come. It's history. He visited us. Because, first of all, God was with us, we can know, secondly, that God is with us. Because God was with us, because he really came in that lowly state and lived and died, he also rose again, the Bible says, and he ascended up into heaven. And because of that, secondly, we can know that God is with us even right now. We're told in the Bible that he makes his home in anyone who trusts in him. God makes his home in anyone who trusts in what Jesus has done. Because Jesus resurrected, rose again from the grave, and ascended into heaven, the Spirit of God now comes to whoever believes in him and makes his home in us, giving us a new start, giving us a new heart, giving us new desires, giving us love and comfort that we need, new courage to live the way that God wants us to live in a crazy world as ours, new power to do what was impossible without God, new power to do all that he has called us to do because Jesus has come, because God was with us, we now know that God is with us. Christmas is a reminder that God is with us. He helps us to follow his example of loving other people, of forgiving other people, of sharing the good news of what God has done with other people. God is with us. Many of you need to hear that tonight. Whether you're young or you're old, you need to know that God is with you right now. Whatever you're going through, whatever pain, whatever hurt, whatever it is that you're experiencing, God is with you. And because he came and he lived in this world, even as an infant who was actually crying. I know our Christmas songs, is it Silent Night? Which is the one that says, no crying he makes? That's just wrong. Sorry to scandalize everyone at Christmas time, but I highly doubt that Jesus didn't cry. In fact, Jesus' whole life, he knew what suffering was. And so, he can comfort us in our suffering. He knows what you are going through. He knows our hurts. He knows our pains. Christmas is an announcement. First of all, you need a Savior and that Savior has come. But secondly, Christmas is an announcement. You will never have to be alone again. You will never have to be alone again. See, God was with us. He came and he lived. Secondly, God is with us. He makes his home in us right now. But thirdly, God will be with us forever. There are many things that we fear about the future, isn't there? My 8-year-old daughter just asked, was it yesterday? We were talking about things that she got scared of. Sorry, honey, I'm embarrassing you right now. But she was asking about things, you know, that scared her, like scary faces. And she said, Dad, do adults get scared? And I said, absolutely. It's usually just money and health and, you know, things like that. It's not scary faces. It's the fiscal cliff and, you know, it's our next doctor's appointment. See, all of us, whether you're 5 years old or you're 50 years old, all of us, We fear the future. We fear 2013. We fear this coming year. We fear all the things around us. But here's what you need to know. God is with you and he will be with you. When we think about the manger, we must think about the lengths to which God went to reach us. Look at how far God went. Look at all that he went through to reach you. Look at all that he went through to be in a relationship with you. Do you think now that he's done all that he will ever leave you in the future? Do you really think God is like, yeah, I came into this world, suffered pain, the cross, the resurrection. Do you think now I'm going to leave you? Jesus said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. You will never have to be alone again. Even when you fail, that's why he died, to forgive us of our failures. Even when we screw up and we don't treat others the way that we should, when we don't look at God the way that we should, or we don't obey God as we should, he will never leave us because Jesus Christ has lived that perfect life for us. And God looks at us through the perfect record of Jesus and he says, you're my son, you're my daughter, and you are forgiven in Jesus Christ. See, one day King Jesus will come again, but it won't be small, it'll be huge. Jesus, we're told in the Bible, he will come again and he's gonna set everything right. But he begins his work now by setting us right. And all of us in this room, whether you've been a Christian for years or you're not yet a Christian, all of us need to be set right. Some of you for the first time, or many of you yet again, because we have not done what God wants us to do. We have not obeyed him. We have not dealt with what's in our lives in the way that we ought. All of us need to ask tonight as we celebrate Christmas, God, make me right with you, not on the basis of what I've done, but on the basis of what Jesus has done. That brings peace. Knowing that you are right with God, knowing that things are just in that beautiful place between you and God because of Jesus is so amazing. I'll never forget when I first became a Christian, the very first morning I woke up after that, I just woke up and I could pray. Like, God, I'm not sinning against you anymore. I'm not running away from you anymore. You ran after me. You chased me. That feeling of peace is so wonderful. That is what Christmas is about. Peace in our hearts. See, the one thing that we should fear is judgment. But Jesus came to take that judgment for us. Christmas is God saying, look how far I go to be with you. Not just to the manger, but all the way to the cross. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. And all of us need to respond, young and old alike. So how tonight, how do we respond to God becoming small? To God living perfectly, to God dying on a cross, to God rising again. How do we respond? Think back to the shepherds as they were there in the fields and the angels appearing before them in the glorious light. How did the angels tell them to respond? How are we to respond tonight? In the midst of all the things that we're going through, how do we respond? And the first way is this. We must receive these truths. We must receive these truths into our hearts. A famous Christmas song says, let every heart prepare him room. On that night when Joseph and Mary went and there was no room in the inn, there was no place for them to stay, in many ways, that's a picture of our hearts. They're so full of everything else that we have no room for Jesus. But we are called tonight to prepare him room, to say, Jesus, come in to whatever area of my life I've been keeping you out of. If you think of your heart like a little home, right? That's cute, right? Think of your heart like a little home. You know, Jesus is there in the living room. You're like, Jesus, we're good, right? You're in the living room. But don't go in the bedroom. Don't go in the closet. Jesus, don't go over there. Jesus is to dwell in every part of your heart. Make him room. In another Christmas song, we sing, fall on your knees. That is the right response to the God who created us and came to rescue us. We're twice his. He created us, and then he rescued us. We owe him our worship. We owe him everything. Tonight, you are to receive these truths. But secondly, we are to rejoice in these truths. And here is why. Because if God was present in a manger, in the worst of circumstances, then the same is true for our circumstances. The same is true for whatever we're going through in life. If God was present, when it seemed like everything was so dark, then God is with you right now. And we're to celebrate that. We're to rejoice in that, that though it may seem dark, that though life may seem hard, we can rejoice because somehow, someway, God is at work. When the shepherds showed up to the manger, they probably thought, oh, this is kind of like the king. You know, I thought there'd be more people. But there was God. But the same is true at the end of Jesus' life when he was on a cross. Many people thought, well, this has got to be the end. This guy said he was the king. He said he was God. And yet it wasn't the end because Jesus conquered the grave. Jesus beat death. If Jesus beat death, if God was present in a manger, then is it not true that God is at work in your circumstance? And for that reason, you can rejoice. You can say tonight, God, you're at work. I don't know what it is you're doing. I don't see all the plans. I don't see the end of this, but I know that one of the things that we celebrate at Christmas is that God is at work even when it seems like he's not. He is. We need to receive these truths. We need to rejoice in these truths. And lastly, we need to repeat these truths to other people. The angels told the shepherds, like, hey, don't just stand here, go. Go and see these things for yourselves. All the things concerning Jesus, who he is, that God has come into our world to make things right, to make things new. These are not things that we're just to keep to ourselves. These are things that we are to repeat. We're to repeat the sounding joy. We're to tell others. We're to tell friends and families. When you go to your neighbor's house, when you go to your relative's house, when you go to your grandparents' house, when you go to your parents' house, when you go to your kids' house, repeat these truths. Say, Jesus Christ has come and he's making all things new. We celebrate tonight his first coming in anticipation and in expectation of his second coming. There is truly no greater gift, no greater gift than you can imagine. All of you have expectations for gifts this Christmas, right? My 5-year-old told me tonight that she wanted $100,000 for Christmas. I said, so does the government. This is the gift that we truly need. And when we receive it rightly, when we receive it yet again, we're reminded that we have all that we need in Jesus Christ. And we can celebrate and we can repeat this to others. And we celebrate the fact that he is going to come again. Friends, the shepherds were told, go to the manger. This will be a sign for you. God in his lowly state. But tonight we celebrate a different sign. And that is the sign of communion. We have here tonight in the front and in the middle, simple cups, one full of bread, the other full of juice. One represents Jesus' body broken. The other represents his blood. It's a sign. It's a symbol. It is something that calls us to remember what Jesus Christ came to do. God is saying to you tonight, don't just look in the manger, but look at the cross. This will be my sign of my love for you. And as we celebrate that tonight, as we come up and as we take the bread and we dip it in the cup, we remember that Jesus Christ is coming again. He's going to wipe away every tear from our eye, and all things will be made new. That is what we are waiting for. And we can enjoy his presence tonight. We can enjoy his love and his comfort and his peace tonight. Some of you have not believed in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're young, or maybe you're older. If you've not yet said, Jesus, I believe in what you did for me on the cross and in your resurrection, pray that prayer tonight. And for the rest of us, may we remember it anew and afresh, the lengths to which God has gone to rescue us. Why wouldn't you give him the rest of your life? Why wouldn't you give him all those areas, especially you parents, all the things you're freaking out about tonight that your kids see day after day? Why wouldn't you just turn those over to God tonight and ask him for his peace? Paul the Apostle says in Philippians 3, verse 20, our citizenship, where we truly belong, is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming again. We celebrate his first coming in anticipation of his second coming. The gift we truly need has already come. Let us receive our King. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that from the youngest to the oldest, that we would remember what you have done for us. That we would remember the lengths to which you went to rescue us. The lengths which you went to bring us back to you so that we might have peace, so that we might have forgiveness, so that we might have new hearts, so that we might have peace and comfort and joy and love. And it is because of what you have done. And it's because of the gift of your Holy Spirit living in us that we can love like you have loved, that we can forgive our family members, our brothers, our sisters, that we can serve the people around us. God, tonight, we would ask that as we celebrate the beauty of all that you've come to do, I pray that our hearts would be moved, that we would know that you were here, dwelling among us. You are with us now, and we will be with you forever, and the best is yet to come. We celebrate that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.